Hey folks, this is Kari Arentakai, reading Something Fierce by Bumbledees, the second part in the Amazing Adventures of Zheng Xiaolian and Family series. So hello, it is Voice Team Mystery Box time. I am going to be doing this as a challenge, Phil. The challenge is, I think, called Do the Weird Stuff. You're supposed to record either in a weird way or something weird. I want to be clear, I don't think this fic is weird at all, but it is weird for me. For a couple of reasons. One, it is not Wangxian, although the universe is, of course. And it's also not only under 40,000 words, but under 10,000 words. Of course, I am going to record all of the Amazing Adventures of Zheng Xiaolian and Family because I recorded Wei Wuxian Who's That? And I loved it so much. It was so much fun. And I really wanted to do all the rest of it. But I needed to fill a challenge, and I've been holding off on this because I always feel weird doing short things, and this is a good excuse to do a short thing that I feel weird doing. Okay. Summary. Zheng Cheng is a leader of one of the four great sects. He's supposed to fall in love with a beautiful woman and secure the dynasty of Lotus Pier. He'd much rather fall in love with a beautiful man and leave Lotus Pier to the next disciple who cares for it as much as he does. He always thought he'd at least fall in love with someone who was, you know, alive. I am going to read the tags at least somewhat because they're a little unusual for me. Teen it up. An archive warning supply. The ship is Zheng Cheng / Wen Ning. The additional tags, which are funny, I'm going to read because they're funny. Zheng Rolling Gay Crisis Wen Yin. Wen Deserve Better Qiong Lin. Spoilers for Wei Wuxian Who's That? Yunweng Bro's Feelings, Copious Use of Bad Language, Grasa Zhang Cheng, My Oddball Collection of Headcanons Concerning Fierce Corpses, Wen Ying Has a Playful Streak, Anyone Friends with Wei Wuxian Has to Have One on Some Level, Homophobia, Internalized Homophobia, Extremely Brief Mention of Something Approaching a Conversion Camp, but it's just two sentences, I promise, Happy Ending, Cheng Ning for Your Souls, Let Zheng Cheng Experience Happiness, Wen Ying is technically undead in this, so warning for that, I guess. But he's far more like a vampire than a zombie, honestly. So Zheng Cheng gets his own YA supernatural romance novel, basically. At least Wen Ying doesn't sparkle. Hilarious. Okay. Author's notes. I'm going to work on this Cheng Ning fic for just a little bit before I do homework, I said. I'm going to go to bed at a reasonable time, I said. How did it get to be 11:40 p.m. on a Saturday night, I said. Graciously beta'd by at NGC1705, who is the Wei Wuxian to my Zheng Cheng and the person to blame for getting me into MDZS in the first place. Thanks for always enabling my nonsense. Reader's note from Carrie, thank you, NGC1705, for getting Bumbledees into MDZS. Appreciate it. Okay. Here is what Zheng Cheng thinks will happen when he gets his first crush. He'll be startled by it, of course, but not stupid about it. He'll admire the maiden from afar and wait to see if it fades. If it doesn't, he'll talk to her. Maybe bring her gifts. She'll smile sweetly at him and his heart will skip a beat. He'll finally understand why songs are sung and poems are written and wars are fought all for love. Here is what actually happens. I should have prepared myself better for laughing all through the whole thing. Okay. Zheng Cheng sees Lan Qichen for the first time and promptly walks into a fucking door jam. Wei Wuxian, clueless as to the cause of the incident, cackles in delight. Lan Qichen smiles in a way that Zheng Cheng would hate on anyone else, but on the first date of Lan makes his stomach lurch oddly. He mutters excuses and leaves to find somewhere quiet to hyperventilate for a little bit. The rest of his time at Cloud Recesses is no help, giving him only more and more damning evidence. Lan Qichen's mouth on Liye Bing. The way Nie Huaisang sticks his tongue out as he concentrates. Jin Zixuan's proud profile and handsome jawline. Wen Ying's sweet smile. One memorable night, he sees Nie Huaisang, 8 jars of wine to the wind, and stark naked except for his fans. It's about then when Zheng Cheng gives up on ignoring it. Of course, what follows is war and death and the destruction of everything Zheng Cheng has ever known. So it's easy to forget about it for a little while. At least until he meets Nia Ming Dre and has to stick his head in a bucket of water for a solid half minute to calm himself down. Reader's note, I don't know who was talking about it. When some server or whatever, the headcanon that like Nia Ming Dre is just everybody's first crush. And I didn't know that I had accepted that truth into my heart. But I think I kind of have. You know, he seems like the kind of guy that younger people would be like, oh my God, I'm going to die. Okay. Jung Chung is not an idiot. He knows he cannot have this. He is a sect leader and he will need a wife and heirs. It's one of the many reasons that he's okay. It's one of the many reasons that he's glad to have Wei Wuxian back after the war is over. He needs at least one man who won't give him a crisis every time they strip down to spar. Of course, Wei Wuxian doesn't stay. He leaves with the Wen dogs from the Jin work camps, breaks his promise in exchange for farming radishes and sheltering prisoners of war. It's almost a relief to see him beaming like an idiot at Lan Wangji and realize that the sect he'll eventually end up with, because it's not the Jiang sect apparently, gods, why would it be Yin Mengjiang? They only fucking took him off the streets and raised him. Won't be the one that slaughtered their whole family. Which is fine. Zheng Cheng can spin this, probably. He has one sibling that will get married off to secure an alliance. He might as well make it two. If the head disciple of a prominent sect can marry another man, perhaps... If Jiji is okay with Wei Wuxian cutting his sleeve, then... If he knows Wei Wuxian wouldn't hate him, wouldn't think he was a freak, maybe he could... Anyways, if anyone gives his Shixiang shit about it, he'll crush their fucking windpipe. See how much crap they can spew then. All of this means that when Wei Wuxian and Lan Wangji approach him to tell him about their plan, he sees it for what it is, a genuine plea, and not some kind of harebrained scheme. He would feel angry that Wei Wuxian didn't trust him with the truth, but he knows all too well how it feels to have something vulnerable and delicate in your chest, sitting right next to the absolutely gutting knowledge that it doesn't matter how much someone loves you. They could still turn on you if they were disgusted enough. Sure, he says, like it means nothing at all, and watches their eyes light up like the lanterns that glitter at night over Lotus Pier. There's a break in the text, so I'll take the time to talk. For those of you who might not remember, of course, Wei Wuxian did think it was a harebrained scheme. He had no idea at this point. Lan Wangji did, but Wei Wuxian, clueless, hilariously, loved the idea that Zheng Cheng is like, why are they lying to me? You know, I was thinking about this because we're doing voice team. You know, there's a lot of talk among podfickers, and I pretty much only pod things that no one else has podded before, partly because I really want to increase the number of fics that are accessible to people that for whatever reason might need them read, not read with their ears, not their eyes. But this is Wei Wuxian Who's That, and this also is a fic that I really hope somebody else pods after me, because I think my version is fun. I think people enjoy laughing when I am laughing. But there are so many perfect lines in this that I think a real, like, sharp edited version of this would also be awesome. Okay. Because clearly I'm just going to be laughing through this whole thing. You're all ready for this. Okay. What follows is undoubtedly the wildest year of Zheng Cheng's entire life. His Jiji is married. Zheng Cheng glares at Zixuan, Yanli's husband, the father of her child, a moronic peacock who can't keep his peacock in his goddamn pants, and tries not to like how he looks in red without much success. His Shixiang is married. His nephew is born. The Wen dogs his brother has been sheltering come to live at Lotus Pier, and, oh yeah, his Jiji's father-in-law is trying to take over the entire fucking cultivation world using a flute-playing pretty boy and approximately 200 fierce corpses. This is fine. It's fine. Zheng Cheng has dealt with worse, probably. Worse, like having his core removed. Worse, like having a new golden core given to him and not being told where it's from, Wei Wuxian. the day he badgers the truth out of Wen Qing and unsheathes Sui Bian in hand, he locks himself in his bedroom and sobs himself sick. He's worked his way down to the occasional hiccup by the time he hears the knock on his door, so small and slight that it's clear the person isn't expecting it to be answered. There's a soft rattle as something is set down on the opposite side of the door, and quiet footsteps padding away. Zheng Cheng waits until he's sure the hall is empty before he slides the door open. A teapot and teacup are on the tray, along with a few simple cakes that are easy on the stomach, but sweetly flavored. Zheng Cheng takes the tray back into his room and sits on his bed. He tries not to think of when Wei Wuxian would sneak him these cakes from the kitchen whenever he fell ill, and that all that his jiejie would let him eat was broth. He does not succeed, but whoever brought him the tea chose something smoky and spicy, more suited to Wei Wuxian than to him, so he can pretend the wetness of his eyes is from having the roof of his fucking mouth burned off. "I nearly had a heart attack last night," the head cook tells him the next morning. "I walked into the kitchen for a late dinner, and there was young Master Wen at the stove, quiet as the dead and waiting for his tea to boil." "Huh," Zheng Cheng says, and thinks about that for the rest of the day. To the civilian population, the Wen remnants are only villagers that have lost their home in the war. But all Yunmengjiang disciples know the full truth, and Zheng Cheng is a mixture of relieved and annoyed that they seem to have accepted the Dafan Wen without complaint. "You're senior Wei's friends, right?" one of the youngest disciples asks Wen Qing, who gets a strange look on her face before kneeling down next to the girl and saying, "Yes. Is he a friend of yours too?" The little girl lights up and starts talking a mile a minute about Wei Xiong from the Sunshot campaign, how he was a hero, how he's practically sect leader Jiang's brother, and how he comes from Yunmengjiang and the rest of the world should never forget it. Zheng Cheng locks himself in his office and tries to breathe. Things are better between him and Wuxian, truly. Wei Wuxian has made it clear that he loves Lotus Pier wherever he is, and that on some level... that's all Zheng Cheng has ever wanted to hear. Wei Wuxian wore a lotus hair ornament on his wedding day because he wanted to. He chose Jiang as a surname, take that, Lam Wangji, because it meant something to him. "You're always going to be my shitty," he'd said, in a stupid red dress with a stupid hairpin in the stupid cloud recesses, looking for once like Zheng Cheng has always felt, like he's one word away from crying, like the ache in his heart is the only thing that matters. "If I'm your shitty, then respect me enough to tell me the truth," Zheng Cheng thinks, and puts his head in his hands. He's almost glad to be distracted by someone requesting his aid, with one of the newer disciples trying to exercise Wen Ying. And let me be clear, that's exercise with an O. Get the bad spirits out, not exercise with an E, like taking them on a walk. He storms off to find the misinformed motherfucker, and yells at the top of his lungs for 5 straight minutes, because if there's a fierce corpse in Lotus Pier, it's because Zheng Cheng goddamn wants one there. Do you think he's fucking inept? He has no clue how the man thought Wen Ying was a threat. Sure, he's kind of pale. He's got weird lines on his throat, and he moves a little jerkily sometimes. But he has eyes like a baby deer and the manners of a shy puppy. Zheng Cheng remembers how he was at Gusu in the archery competition. The man couldn't hurt a fly. "Thank you, Sect Leader Jiang," Wen Ying says, when his aggressor has turned tail and fled. "I apologize. I understand I'm not the most comforting of sights. I can try and go out during the night instead if you wish."
"Don't be ridiculous," Zheng Cheng says. "You should keep whatever hours you please. And night is the only time you look remotely intimidating anyways, so it'd only make it worse."
Wen Ying smiles as best as he's able in gratitude, and Zheng Cheng has to go take apart some practice dummies with Zidian. He still can't look at the Wen siblings without feeling a hurricane of emotions in his chest, and he doesn't want to take that out on Wen Ying. It's not his fault that smiling makes the hurricane worse and not better. Everything gets a little easier after the first day of Wei Wuxian's visit to Lotus Pier. He avoids the man for the whole morning,
But after he punches him, hugs him, and wrestles him into the floor to heal the bruise from the punch, something out of socket clicks back into place, and he can breathe without pain again. He hasn't told Wuxian why he lost his core in the first place, but he doesn't feel like he needs to right now. He'll give himself a couple of years to work through all of it completely, then bring it up at dinner sometime and let his brother deal with having an emotional crisis for once. His brother. Zheng Cheng had thought of 100 reasons why Wei Bishan could have given him his core, and not a single one was, because you're my little brother. It explains a lot, if he's honest. More than a lot. When he'd asked Wen Qing why, she had answered, because I have a little brother. And he's beginning to think it might not have been so much a debt repaid as the recognition of a kindred spirit. How does it feel? Have a sibling who would do the impossible for you? He had asked Wen Ying on the day he learned the truth. It was a nasty question aimed to hurt, and he'd only managed at the last second to use the impossible instead of the unimaginable, the unthinkable, the horrifying. Wen Ying, bless him, treated it like it was genuine. Sometimes it doesn't feel very good, he said, but I would do the same for her, so I suppose I can't complain. That answer had followed Zheng Cheng around like a hungry dog. Would he have done the same too? If it was just about the core, he doesn't think he would have. But that's because Wei Wuxian would be okay. Was okay. He'd take it in stride and make jokes about it and invent an entirely new way to cultivate, because of course he would. Had. Whatever. But after Wei Bishan's visit, Zheng Cheng turns, you acted like you were going to die. No, try that again. But after Wei Bishan's visit, Zheng Cheng turns, you acted like you were going to die around in his mind. He remembers how Wei Bishan acted right after the end of the Sunshot campaign, like he'd expected to go down in battle and was disappointed. If that had continued, if that had gotten worse. He knows he would have endured anything to stop it. Wen Qionglin, he says stiffly, the day after Wei Wuxian and his family returned to Gusu. If you ever find being a younger sibling challenging, I am here to sympathize. Wen Ying blinks, then gives him the little half-smile, which means he's beaming on the inside. What Zheng Cheng has done to deserve that kind of sweetness directed at him, he has no idea. Thank you, sect leader Jiang. Zheng Wen Yin, at the very least, Zheng Cheng says, finding his voice alarmingly gruff. You're my peer, aren't you? Jiang Wen Yin, Wen Ying acquiesces, with a bow just quick enough that Zheng Cheng can't rebuke him for it. Then, please, call me Wen Ying. It's... Wen Yin is a courtesy name. It's not even remotely the same. But Wen Ying is Wen Qing's brother. And Zheng Cheng knows how stubborn Wen Qing is. Wen Ying, Zheng Cheng says, and receives another smile in return. It reminds him of Gusu. He goes and takes it out on the practice dummies again. Quick reader's break here. We all love Lan Wenji's horny grip. I feel like this fic is convincing me that Zheng Cheng's horny grip is deserving of love as well. In the few hectic weeks between his brother's visit and the Fierce Corpse Conference, as Zheng Cheng has begun referring to it in his head, there's a lot to do. He makes plans and backup plans and bristles over the letter from Wei Wuxian that says, Lan Qichen says we can trust Jing Guangyao because no, they absolutely cannot. And it's his sister on the line. But she's Wei Wuxian's sister too. And oh gods, isn't it his other sister, brother, who is going to be in the thick of things, using demonic cultivation because she has no core, because he gave it up to his little brother. Zheng Cheng ends up having his legs give out from exhaustion during a sect meeting and bruises his jaw on the table when he falls. Wen Qing tells him he's lucky he didn't lose a tooth. In an act of blatant mutiny, everyone at the meeting decides that he needs a break and insists that he rest for the next 7 days. If I see you in this office for a single minute this week, I'll get Wen Qing to paralyze you and roll you under your bed for storage, his second-in-command threatens, And Cheng Cheng takes a moment to fume about training his disciples a little too well after his own office door is slammed in his face. All the rest of Yun Meng Jiang is in collusion as they studiously ignore him storming in a temper through the halls. The Wen remnants, if they can even be called that anymore, when most of them have made themselves at home in Lotus Pier, are similarly unaffected. By now, they've seen Zheng Cheng playing clapping games with Ayuan and being drooled on by Aling, and are not intimidated in the slightest. To clear his temper, he stalks off to the family quarters of Lotus Pier and spends a half an hour throwing rocks into the water. Eventually, a shadow comes to stand by his side, but it's one he's used to. When his throwing arm starts to hurt, he steps away from the edge of the dock and acknowledges it. Wen Ying. Sect leader Jiang, Wen Ying says. Absolutely not, Zheng Cheng snaps, turning to jab a finger in his direction. I refuse to be called by the title of sect leader when I have been effectively removed from the position. A second thought occurs to him. And didn't I tell you not to call me that anyways? Wen Ying has his little half smile on his face, and something in his eyes is dancing when he says, My apologies, Jiang Wenyin. It takes a moment for Zheng Cheng to realize that Wen Ying just provoked him on purpose, and he's not sure whether he feels proud, indignant, or just the littlest bit smitten. He settles for huffing and folding his arms, hoping that it's the second that's won out on his face. Wen Qiong Lin, he returns. What are you doing here? Jijia said you were sulking, Wen Ying says. I'm not sulking. I came back here to throw rocks at the fish. Zheng Cheng narrows his eyes at Wen Ying, but there's no malice behind it. Somewhere between his rescue, his core, and his Guga's visit, there's nothing left to hate. If Zheng Cheng is painfully honest with himself, there was never anything to hate in the first place. Really, he says, what are you here for? Wen Ying's eyes dart away, and then back to Zheng Cheng, a little anxious, a little hopeful. Zheng Cheng isn't sure what for. If you'll allow the imposition, I was hoping that you'd help me with my archery. They say you're the best in Lotus Pier with a bow. Wen Ying is a very accomplished archer. He does not need Zheng Cheng's help. Wei Wuxian is better than me, Zheng Cheng says. And he thought he was over it, but something about saying it to Wen Ying still stings. He knows immediately that the response will be, Young Master Wei is not here, and swallows vinegar. I'm not asking, Young Master Wei, Wen Ying says, calm and factual. There's a 10-second staring contest where Zheng Cheng tries helplessly not to read into all the possible implications of that wording. I suppose I can spare the time, Zheng Cheng says, and follows Wen Ying to the archery range. The second day, Wen Ying finds him sulking by the edge of the lake. Jiang Wen Yin, he says, bowing and greeting. Wen Qiong Lin, Zheng Cheng says, don't bow to me. Wen Ying smiles again, which means he's not going to listen at all. Are you busy? Do I look like it? Zheng Cheng complains, and the half-smile broadens. It's ridiculously cute. And Zheng Cheng beats Gusu back into the back of his brain where it will stay. Is there something I can help you with? I want to make some lotus seed cakes, since everyone is so worried right now, Wen Ying says. I think they could use something sweet. I can't cook, Zheng Cheng says. No, but young Master Wei often said you were the best at finding the free-floating lotuses, Wen Ying says. I was hoping you could show me how to gather the seeds. Wei Wuxian never shuts up. The fact that he talked to Wen Ying about Zheng Cheng, bragged to Wen Ying about Zheng Cheng, should not be strange. Zheng Cheng feels weird anyway. Well, he says, I don't have anything else to do. Wen Ying's face is too stiff to smile any wider, but his whole being somehow cranks the delighted puppy thing up another notch. And Zheng Cheng forgets everything he knows about lotuses for at least 2 minutes.
He's got to admit it's nice, enjoying the sun and the water. Zheng Cheng finds himself relaxing like he hasn't in a while, snacking on lotus seeds and dangling his hand off the boat and into the water like he did when he was a child. Wen Ying is an eager student when it comes to lotus pods, seeds, flowers, and just about everything else, too. He studies each blossom like it's a miracle, watches the fish dart beneath the boat like they're tiny dragons, and taps the leaves lightly to watch them bob in the water. Zheng Cheng loses track of time watching him, and the sun is significantly lower down when he realizes he hasn't seen Wen Ying actually eat any seeds. He tosses one in his direction, and Wen Ying catches it with inhuman reflexes, a sight made a bit better by his very human confusion at the catch. "For you," Zheng Cheng says. As usual, it takes a moment for his brain to catch up with his mouth. "Wait, can you even eat?" He swears he's seen Wen Ying drink some of Yanli's broth or Wuxian's awful congee. That's got to be a rude question, but Wen Ying's confusion evaporates and he smiles. "I can," he says. "It helps to keep me from relying too much on resentful energy. But unless it's really strong in flavor, I can't taste it." He observes the lotus seed as he's talking, then pops it into his mouth and chews. "I suppose the concept of a fierce corpse would prioritize sight and hearing over taste and touch." "No wonder you can eat Wuxian's cooking," Zheng Cheng says before catching up with himself once more. "Touch?" "I can feel pressure, if it's strong enough. Probably to keep me from being squashed or something," Wen Ying says. "It's not a very good weapon that feels too much pain, is it?" Zheng Cheng doesn't like Wen Ying talking about himself like he's a tool or an invention. "You're not a weapon, Qionglin. Shout at Wei Wuxian for this kind of thing." "Of all the thoughtless..." Wen Ying looks alarmed. "Oh, no. It's not Young Master Wei's fault. It really isn't. He had to build on what was already there. And anyone who'd raised the dead before didn't bring their consciousness with them, so it was just all he had to work with." Zheng Cheng still wants to berate his little brother for his carelessness, but the idea seems to distress Wen Ying, so he drops it. "Do you miss it?" Wen Ying blinks. Taste, Zheng Cheng says. "Touch." "Of course," Wen Ying says, "but there are some good parts." Zheng Cheng raises an eyebrow. Wen Ying smiles. "I know it sounds strange," he says, "but there really are. I can see things in great detail now. I can see every moment of swift motions if I concentrate. And I can protect the people I love now." He looks down at his hands again. "I wasn't so good at that before."
"Horse shit," Zheng Cheng says.
"Wen Ying was so good at protecting people, it got him killed."
"Is that why you stare at everything?"
Wen Ying laughs, and it's Zheng Cheng's turn to stare. The sound is light, a little raspy, and utterly adorable. "No, I stared when I was alive, too," Wen Ying says. "Qing Jie would get so exasperated when I was smaller. I would watch the flowers and the bugs for ages." He smiles down at the lotus flowers, and Zheng Cheng fights down the urge to reach over and turn that smile towards himself. "The smallest creatures are more complicated than our most complex arrays, you know."
"I've never paid attention," Zheng Cheng admits,
after the pause in conversation is long enough for him to realize he's still staring. "You have a lot of responsibilities," Wen Ying says simply. "That's why it's good to take time like this." He turns away from the flower, catching Zheng Cheng's eyes with his own. "Even after my sister lets you back into your office, I hope you'll still remember that."
"You might have to remind me," Zheng Cheng says, and is rewarded with a lotus flower smile.
Wen Ying makes excellent lotus seed cakes. He brings Zheng Cheng some on the fourth day of his forest vacation, and they sit on the dock together while he eats them, watching the dragonflies dart in and out among the flowers. Zheng Cheng comes back swinging after exactly a week of rest and chases everyone else out of his office. He spends most of the morning putting things back where he can find them, damn it, and starts late on the pile of correspondence that has been labeled personal mail.
Just because the writers are important enough to be answered by a sect leader only does... just because the writers are important enough to be answered by a sect leader only does not mean Zheng Cheng likes them, and he is in high bad humor when his door opens and closes a few hours later. If you're here to tell me to leave the rest until tomorrow, get lost, Zheng Cheng snaps, thinking it's his second in command. It's your fault there were so many for me to look at today. I've only brought tea, a mild voice says, and Zheng Cheng looks up to see Wen Ning with a tray bearing a teapot and a singular cup. Right, Zheng Cheng says awkwardly. I wasn't expecting you.
It didn't sound like it, Wen Ning says, setting the tray down on his desk.
Even for someone with little range of expression, he looks remarkably calm in the face of Zheng Cheng's outburst. My apologies, Zheng Cheng mutters, feeling oddly cornered by his own emotions. He's definitely mad, but not at Wen Ning. He's very much something else in Wen Ying's direction, but thinking about that makes him anxious, and being anxious makes him angry. But at the end of it all, it's still not Wen Ying's fault. And to be perfectly blunt, Zheng Cheng has blamed the other man enough for a lifetime. For two lifetimes. He gives up on his thoughts and watches Wen Ying pour the tea instead. There's something about the way Wen Ying does everything so carefully and deliberately that calms him. All at once, the prospect of the letters on the desk is a headache. Wen Ning, he says, stay for a while. I could use a break. The head healer would probably check him for a fever, but Wen Ning just blinks once and sits down in one of the chairs facing Zheng Cheng's desk. All right. There's a bit of a pregnant pause before Zheng Cheng clears his throat and casts around for a topic of conversation. So how is your family doing? He wants to punch himself in the face as soon as the words leave his mouth. Wen Ying's family is living in the Jiang sect buildings. Zheng Cheng knows exactly how they're doing, because he'd be worth shit as a sect leader if he didn't. Wen Ying doesn't remind him of this, because he's entirely too kind for his own good. They're well, he says, his voice taking on the happy tone it always does when the other Dafan Wens are mentioned. Fourth uncle wants to experiment with lotus flowers for his wine.
That's interesting.
Will it be drinkable? Wen Ying's nose crinkles just a little bit, like it always does when he's being mischievous.
It usually is. Whether or not it will be advisable to drink is a different story.
Zheng Cheng barks out a laugh. He's not sure whether he'll want to try it himself or dump it in Wei Wuxian's cup. Maybe dump it in Lan Wangji's cup. He's got to test it on someone, hasn't he?
It's usually me, Wen Ying says, since I can't, you know, get drunk.
He gestures to himself with a brief, halting movement.
But I don't mind, because most alcohol is strong enough for me to taste, and that's nice.
Zheng Cheng looks down at his teacup. He's not exactly a man for mild flavors, but he does drink his tea without chili oil. Does tea do the same thing? Wen Ying shrugs, and the jerk to what should be a fluid motion is probably not supposed to be as charming as it is.
It depends on the tea.
Can you taste this one? It's one of Zheng Cheng's favorites, although he's not quite sure if or how Wen Ying knows that. Wen Ying tilts his head, considering.
I don't know, he says. I've never tried it before.
Zheng Cheng hesitates and holds out the cup. Still half full of tea. It's a long, hanging second as Wen Ying stares, and something in Zheng Cheng's brain that sounds a lot like his mother starts screaming about stupidity and shamelessness. He's just about to pull the teacup back when Wen Ying reaches out and takes it carefully in both hands, like it's a butterfly, like it's a jewel, and brings it to his mouth to drink. His eyes are closed, concentrating completely on the taste. His hands are folded around the cup with a delicacy completely at odds with the fact that they have the strength to snap bone. His mouth... Zheng Cheng feels dizzy. Wen Ying keeps his eyes closed for a little longer, then his mouth curves into a small smile as he opens them again.
You know, he says, voice soft like the lap of waves on the shore, like the early morning sunlight. I think that I can. Neither of them says anything about tea for at least a week. Zheng Cheng pushes himself harder and harder in his work, because he won't have to run through the conversation in his brain and wonder, did he know why I held it out? Or did he take it for the reason I think he did? He doesn't have the time to think about things like that. He doesn't have the luxury to think about things like that. Even if there is something shared between him and Wen Qionglin, it can't be acted on without causing a scandal worse than Wei Wuxian has ever managed to, yet. This doesn't stop him from gritting his teeth reflexively whenever anyone mentions Wen Ying going to the Fierce Corpse Conference. Fierce Corpse Conference. Who knew that would be so difficult, though? And let me be clear, Fierce Corpse Conference, all capitalized, which I love. Very good in terms of the Wei Wuxian, who's that? I'm going to need to take some minutes and prepare myself for seeing that term again. Fierce Corpse Conference. Got it that time. Okay, I have gathered myself. I have marshaled my forces. I'm ready. Wen Ying, you should stay at Lotus Pier, Zheng Cheng says, the day before they leave. Now, no one can argue with him, unless they want Yun Mengjiang to be late to the conference. There's going to be a lot of demonic cultivation flying around, and I don't want you to get hurt. Wen Ying gives him a funny look. I can't die, he reminds Zheng Cheng. That doesn't mean they can't do things to you, Zheng Cheng snaps. They could slice a limb off. Then where would you be?
One limb down, Wen Ying says calmly. It could probably be sewn back on.
Zheng Cheng gags. Thinking about Wen Ying being sewed on like a doll makes him nauseous. What a horrid thing to do to someone's body.
It is a little disgusting, Wen Ying admits.
It's harmful to you, even if you won't die from it, Zheng Cheng says. And what if Shui Yang tries to control you?
I think only young Master Wei can do that, Wen Ying says, and he wouldn't.
Zheng Cheng doesn't know what unsettles him more. The thought of someone trying to attack Wen Ying with their sword, or the thought of Wen Ying being mind-controlled, used against his will for slaughter. Actually, scratch that, the second one bothers him a lot more. Wen Ying, he says. They'll see you as a threat. I'll fight with more focus if I don't have to worry about some idiot cultivator attacking one of my people.
Wen Ying looks at him for a moment, and Zheng Cheng has time to reflect on the fact that he said my people. And shit, what if Wen Ying takes offense to that?
Wen Ying smiles at him, shy and even a little bit fond.
I'll consider it, he says, and that's all.
He's Wen Qing's little brother. Zheng Cheng will take consideration as a victory. Wen Ying does not stay home. Wen Ying comes charging into battle against a horde of fierce corpses because he was worried. He saves Wei Wuxian's sorry ass, which, okay, fair, and then drops Jin Zixun to the ground without so much as a scratch. Zixun, who ran the camps at Tiongqi Path, who got Wen Ying killed.
I am a good person, Wen Ying says, because he is.
But Zheng Cheng has never qualified as good in his life, so he doesn't think he loses too much when he brings his boots down on Jin Zixun's shin and cracks his tibia in two. Wen Ying's eyes are wide, his mouth half open, and it's only the carnage of the hall and the notable absence of Wei Wuxian's dumbass husband that keeps Zheng Cheng from doing something extraordinarily stupid about that mouth. I'll restrain, you destroy, he says instead, and Wen Ying nods, closing his jaw with a sharp click of teeth. They work in tandem after that, dispatching corpse after corpse, and it's almost fun until Wei Wuxian yells for him to get Wen Ying to safety, and less than a minute later, Zheng Cheng sees why. Don't look, he chokes out, and retreats with Wen Ying to the side of the hall, pulling him face first against his shoulder without thinking. Wen Ying goes stiff for a second, but relaxes quickly. He moves his head to the side to take a peek at what's being hidden from him.
Why not?
The horrific scene doesn't seem to bother him too much.
There.
Zheng Cheng doesn't want to say, like you, because he can't really think of Wen Ying as dead. Not when he walks and talks and smiles and makes people tea when they're sad.
Fierce corpses. You're a fierce corpse. Fuck, he hopes he didn't just say the worst thing possible. It wouldn't surprise him if he had. They don't have anything inside of them but hunger and resentment, Wen Ying says, and he sounds sorry, but not sad. I don't think they could have anything else at this point, even if we tried to help them.
Well, Zheng Cheng says, and loosens his hold, embarrassed enough to feel his face burn. Never mind then.
Wen Ying doesn't step away. Instead, he lays his head on Zheng Cheng's shoulder and just leans against him. You're very kind, Zheng Wen Ying. Thank you. Zheng Cheng has been accused of many things, but kind is a first.
You helped, he manages, when he can process words again. With that.
There's a little tremor through Wen Ying's shoulders, and Zheng Cheng panics before he realizes it's a laugh. Not loud and surprised like in the lotuses, but soft and gentle. He's cut off from further investigation by the sound of a flute. And thank gods his brother is finally winding down the blood and guts. Land cultivators are starting to suppress and eliminate, and Zheng Cheng realizes that he wouldn't put it past them to target Wen Ying by accident.
Here, he says, shrugging out of his outermost robes. Wear this and keep your sun hat down. If any of those imbeciles look your way, point Sandu at them and shout for me.
Wen Ying blinks at him in surprise, but takes the robes obediently, tugging them on with jerky little motions Zheng Cheng has gotten so familiar with. What next?
We find my idiot brother and his husband, and we brace for the backlash, Zheng Cheng says, because he knows it's coming. No good deed ever goes unpunished.
Wei Bishan drops into a dead faint right after Jin Zixuan thanks him, and judging by Lan Wangji's panicked expression, it's not a fake one this time. Zheng Cheng sighs, tells Wen Ying to stay close to Wei Wuxian and Lan Wangji, and rolls up his remaining sleeves to do what he does best. Shout at people. Wei Wuxian owes him so many jars of Emperor's Smile after this. At the end of it all, Jin Zixuan takes over Lan Lingjin. Jin Guangyao doesn't stab them in the back, and Lan Zhan proves himself to be just enough of a bastard to be worth liking.
Young Master Wei and second Young Master Lan seemed happy, Wen Ying says, when they're back at Lotus Pier and everyone else has staggered back to their beds.
Zheng Cheng, ever the odd one out, had been too restless to try and sleep, and Wen Ying had offered to accompany him on a walk down by the docks.
They are, Zheng Cheng says. He knows his big brother well. I can tell.
That's good, Wen Ying says. They balance each other well.
He glances back at the Jiang sect buildings.
I used to hope I could find a companion like that.
Zheng Cheng forces himself to interpret it in the most likely way.
You still could. Most of the female disciples here think you're adorable.
Wen Ying lets out a quiet laugh.
That's very sweet of them, but I'm afraid I couldn't offer them any more than friendship.
There aren't really many other ways to take that sentence. Zheng Cheng wrestles with himself, loses, and says,
more like Wei Wuxian and Lan Wangji, then.
More like that, Wen Ying agrees softly.
He stops walking, and Zheng Cheng stops too.
But it's not an easy thing, what they did. For cultivators, especially in the great sects, there are certain expectations.
I know them, Zheng Cheng says.
His voice is rough, even to his own ears. He's had no one else to talk about this with, no one. And it's just his goddamned luck that the first person who opens up to him about it is the man he's...
I thought you might, Wen Ying says.
He's looking down at the rocky shoreline, his whole body tense.
I had wondered, but I might be misunderstanding.
Zheng Cheng can hardly believe what he's hearing. This kind of thing doesn't happen to him. Good things don't come this easy. He doesn't get to be this lucky. He can practically see the worried frown Wen Ying would have on his face if Zheng Cheng had said those words out loud.
The sheer sudden impossibility of Wen Ning caring about him, of them both feeling the same way, finding the same happiness after all they've been through hits him, and he knows with a sudden and absolute certainty that he can't let this slip through his fingers. "Anying," Zheng Cheng says, "it's a question." To inhale in shock must be a reflex, because Zheng Cheng hears it even though Wen Ning no longer needs to breathe. Wen Ning looks over at him, eyes wide, disbelieving in the way Zheng Cheng felt a second ago. But something in Zheng Cheng's own face is convincing him, and the next thing he says is, "Yes, yes, Ah Cheng." Well, Zheng Cheng throws caution to the wind and kisses him. Thankfully, Wen Ning seems to be just as happy kissing Zheng Cheng as Zheng Cheng is to be kissing him. Or at least Zheng Cheng thinks he is. He hasn't kissed many people before. Wei Sung, once, 8 jars drunk, etc. He is fairly sure kisses are supposed to be warm, and Wen Ning's definitely aren't. But he does have a tongue, and that eclipses temperature in Zheng Cheng's book. His face is being cradled now, like Wen Ning held the teacup, and the cool of his palms and his mouth makes Zheng Cheng feel like he's kissing a river or the moon. Dumb idea, to put someone like him in the sect with all the sun symbolism, Zheng Cheng manages to think, before realizing that he's just compared his crush to a celestial object, which is stupidly sappy on the level of Wei Wuxian and Lan Wangji. Fuck, he's so far gone. It's only when he starts to sway that Wen Ning pulls away. His face is horrified, and Zheng Cheng's brain runs through all possible reasons why, and somehow lands on, "Shit, am I that bad at kissing?" "I forgot that you need to breathe," Wen Ning says, before Zheng Cheng can ask. "Zheng Cheng, I'm so, so sorry." Zheng Cheng stares at him for a second, then laughs, a full, genuine laugh like the kind he hasn't felt since before the burning of Lotus Pier. It fills him up like a tide rising, like the warmth of the summer sun, a forgotten feeling coming to light again. Wen Ning looks relieved and astonished and flustered all at once. "You have to remind me next time." There's a next time, which means there can continue to be a this time, which means right now what they're doing is wasting time. "Absolutely not," Zheng Cheng says, and goes right back to kissing him. He does actually pass out one night. Wen Ning frets for the rest of the evening, but Zheng Cheng has passed out doing much less enjoyable things, so he's not bothered by it at all. Of course, not everything is easy. Zheng Cheng panics sometimes, convinces himself that people are whispering, that they know somehow that they're judging. He has dreams where his parents come back from the dead just to tell him what a shame he is to their sect, how he should have let the Jiang name die away rather than become this stained. He has this nightmare once, twice. But the third time, Wei Wuxian marches into Lotus Pier in his glittering wedding robes and stands in front of Zheng Cheng, mouth pressed into a thin line and head held tall and proud. "Jijie," Zheng Cheng says, and Wei Wuxian smiles at him over his shoulder before the dream dissolves. Zheng Cheng goes to kneel in front of his parents' tablets, sitting in silence for several hours. No voices come to haunt him, but none come to comfort him either. Still, there's a sort of peace in him when he stands again. He has a new appreciation for what it must be like to live in a marriage without being in love. He makes an involuntary noise at using the word in his head for the first time. And he thinks he understands his parents a little better now. The dream will come back, but whether or not his sibling follows, Zheng Cheng thinks he'll be able to handle it. Wen Ning doesn't have the same problems, but he does have his own. It surprises Zheng Cheng to realize that of the two of them, Wen Ning is the shyer one about physical affection. He's skittish about kissing unless he knows they won't be interrupted, and even avoids holding hands for too long. "They could report you for it," Wen Ning explains one night, when a cat in the bushes startles them, and Wen Ning nearly bursts into tears over it. under Wen Rohan. People were arrested and sent somewhere to be changed, fixed. No one came back the same. He's trembling badly, and Zheng Cheng wants to bring Wen Rohan back from the dead and kill him again just for this. Just for putting this terrible fear into Wen Ying's heart. A fear even Zheng Cheng has never had to face. He wants to pull Wen Ying into his arms and hold him as tight as he can. But they're still outside, and he doesn't want to make it worse. He holds out a hand, palm up. Wen Ying takes it carefully in his own, and with a bravery that knocks Zheng Cheng breathless, slowly brings it to his mouth and kisses every finger. Quick reader's break. I definitely assumed at the beginning that he meant he could be reported for making out with a fierce corpse, which does seem like a more complicated social problem than making out with another man in I think some very important ways. And I was like, my God, they were dating that many fierce corpses under Wen Rohan that they had a whole system for that? Took me a second. It's like building, like rebuilding. One log at a time, each disciple as they come, and eventually you have a sect again. They take it slowly but surely, and it works for them both. Wen Qing eventually catches onto them and corners them both at the archery range. Or, more accurately, she corners Zheng Cheng, with more needles in her hands than Zheng Cheng has ever seen in her possession before. He thinks she might have gone out and bought some specifically for this purpose. I don't care if I owe you a life debt, Wen Qing says. If you think you can toy with my little brother's feelings, if you think you're allowed to make him into your little hidden plaything. Ajia, Wen Ying says. Both Wen Qing and Zheng Cheng jump at hearing his voice that sharp. Acheng isn't doing anything like that, Wen Ying says, and the little frown lines between his eyebrows mean he's downright scowling in disapproval. We're not hiding it, not really. We just... He glances over at Zheng Cheng, the furrow in his brow fading away. We just need a little time for ourselves, before everyone else knows. Wen Qing hesitates, but still looks a little suspicious. If I ever treat him that badly, you can cut my head off, Zheng Cheng tells her. He's fucked up a lot of things, and he doesn't want to fuck up this. Zheng Cheng, Wen Ying scolds him. Wen Qing gives him a final dubious look, then puts her needles away. I'll cut both your heads off, she says, as one last threat. Achya, Wen Ying shrieks. There's precious little blood in his body, which means a lot of it must be in his face right now to make his blush that visible. That's fair, Zheng Cheng says. Wan Yin! It becomes public knowledge after a night hunt, which, in retrospect, isn't much of a surprise. There's a bit of death-defying in every hunt, although there aren't many nights where they're mere inches away from being caught in the blazing inferno of a demon's self-immolation. The creature's dying act scorches the clearing black and takes the eyebrows off of a few of Zheng Cheng's disciples before it crumbles into a charred corpse. The blast gives Zheng Cheng blisters on his face and his arms, but he's too busy counting heads to tend to them, and really only realizes the pain after he's made sure he's leaving the forest with all of the cultivators he brought in. They're told later that the blaze of light and the smell of burning flesh were noticeable for miles around, which explains the anxious crowd waiting for them when they get back to Lotus Pier. Zheng Cheng shepherds the last of his cultivators into the safety of the complex before entering himself, and doesn't realize how terrifying that visual was for the rest of his sect until a collective cry of relief goes up at his appearance. Someone crashes into him at a run, someone blessedly cold, and Zheng Cheng wraps his arms around Wen Ying in relief as much as in reflex. When they pull apart, he's too tired to keep his face from going soft, too dazed at being alive to stop his smile at the sight of the other man's face, strained with worry and half rigor mortis as it is. Wen Ying opens his mouth, shuts it again, and pulls him into a kiss. The cold of his hands on Zheng Cheng's face, a balm on the blisters. Zheng Cheng returns it, the electricity of Zidian crackling around them, arcing from the ring on his finger to the metal on Wen Ying's belt and bracelets, illuminating and connecting them. He's not sure he could come up with a clearer visual metaphor if he tried. Wen Qionglin, Wen Qing says, storming across the courtyard with the Qiongkun bag in her grip. Those burns are blistering. You can't keep your hands off of Sect Leader Zheng's injuries for 10 seconds. At least do me the courtesy of tending to them. Wen Ying squeaks in surprise and turns to reach for the Qiongkun bag on instinct. Wen Qing shoves it into his hands, pulling out a salve and smacking a great big glob of it on Zheng Cheng's face. It smells like donkey ass, but the burning immediately goes numb. Fuck, Zheng Cheng sighs in relief, and Wen Qing snorts. You make sure the blisters are covered, she tells Wen Ying. I have to see to the others. The rest of the cultivators managed to get away with lighter, lesser burns, but Wen Qing is unstoppable and indomitable, so they get prompt treatment whether they like it or not. Zheng Cheng stands still and lets Wen Ying smooth the salve into his injuries, listening to the whispers and the chatter flood the courtyard. It doesn't panic him like it once might have. He's going to have one hell of an emotional hangover tomorrow, but right now he can't bring himself to give a fuck. How loud do you think Wei Wuxian is going to yell when we tell him? He asks. Loud, Wen Ying says. He pauses and applying the salve to think. Let's invite them to tea. I want to see if Second Young Master Lan does a spit take. Zheng Cheng bursts out laughing, despite the painful tug of the blisters. Wen Ying's nose crinkles as he smiles, and Zheng Cheng feels something warm and fiery curl in his chest, shining like a golden core. He knows all his worries will return tomorrow, but for one night, he reaches out for the man he loves and lets himself forget what it is to be afraid. Author's End Notes. How loud will Wei Wuxian be? Will Lan Zhan actually do a spit take? That's for the next Mengxian fic, and that's for when I have time to write more than a one-shot. Hope you're all doing well and finding as much happiness as you can during this batshit stressful time. It's really sad that I don't know which batshit stressful time is being referred to here, because there have just been a lot in the last several years. But whichever one. And, you know, hopefully there aren't that many more in the future, but should you also be in a batshit stressful time, I hope you are also finding as much happiness as you can. That was all reader's note part. Okay, well, this was amazing. The next one in the series is the longer one, which I am super excited to read to you guys. There's a baby. There's a baby, which is very exciting. And yeah, I'll talk to you then. Bye.